When I discuss things with my students in my course, which is called Environmental Policy in Practice, to distinguish me from my more academic colleagues, the practice bit is important. And I tell them that one of the most important attributes to achieve progress in the environmental field is stamina. Because an environmental issue, typically a quickie is 25 years. So stamina is an essential requirement. It's a learned character. And you have displayed that stamina in this conference. And I do appreciate your stamina. Really important. And, of course, this issue is going to be a very demand, put a very high demand on the business of stamina. I'm going to take just a few minutes, not to tell you everything you heard, because that would take as long as the conference. But I just want to suggest to you, I'll hold up a bit of a mirror to tell you what I think you heard, what I heard, at a very high level, because I can't do it at anything other than a high level if I'm just going to take a few minutes. So the first thing we heard is, what is water? Water we heard is an ecological resource. It's essential for health. It's essential for the economy. It's a spiritual resource. It is a public good which requires a public trust. Question was asked, do we care? Well, the answer to that was a resounding yes. We heard from three sets of polling. All of them said that this is hugely important to Canadians, hugely important to countries around the world. And as a natural resource for Canadians, its value was considered higher by the public than our oil and gas resources. Having said it's important, we also heard from science. Science is the voice of the environment. And the voices that we hear on water are troubled, and they are troubling. And I think I could only refer to the highlight of the conference, which was David Schindler's address yesterday to tell us the nature and the rationale for that troubling information. The question is, are we ready to do something about it? And in particular, the pollsters were asked, are you ready to pay for it? And they said yes, and a remarkably high proportion of Canadians were ready to pay for it. So what is needed? Well, the thing that was needed that everyone agreed to was governance, to be a more coherent, rational, sensible approach to organizing the way we both govern water and manage it, and that it required that coherence and mutual reinforcement on a broad base across many disciplines, many interests, many stakeholders. And it also was required to be done vertically amongst jurisdictions. So vertical and horizontal governance, coherence. That governance needs to be applied to both demand and supply. Soft parts, as the demand side was called. And it also needs to be supported by laws and regulations. And we heard interesting descriptions of the capacity of new forms of law just coming onto the books to take us into new directions with new values associated with the management of water. Those laws and regulations have got to allow us to price water, minimally to recover the cost of processing water. I'd argue that it needs to go much further eventually, to attach a full value to water, which is obviously above the cost of processing. we will need to attach high value to the acquisition of evidence. Evidence necessary not only for determining the condition of the aquatic resource, but evidence necessary for decision making. And evidence necessary for decision making has to be not only the natural sciences, but the human sciences, the economics, the social sciences, ability to communicate and knowledge of communication with all of the people that need to be communicated with. And I'm reminded, just parenthetically, that it was only, I think, about 10 years ago that our largest industrial sector in Canada, which is the healthcare sector, $180 billion a year business, it created for the first time the Canadian Institute on Health Information, which was designed to provide to decision makers in the healthcare system the knowledge, the evidence that they needed to make decisions on the healthcare system in this country. They had been functioning in a manner that we function now in this water business, with anecdotal information, spotty information, incomplete information to try and make system-wide improvements. Canadian Institute on Health Information, I suggest to you, represents a potential model that would be very attractively applied here. We also talked about the characteristics that our system of governance should be inclusive and engaging of all of the parties with interests and stakes. It should be transparent, and it should be accountable. I'd also suggest to you that whatever system we establish, as it evolves, as it matures, it's got to be ready to take into account surprises. The surprises that climate change will bring to bear upon the demands of governance, we're already starting to glimpse at some of those, and we heard some of those from our experts. At the same time as climate change will do that, I'm also aware that the law of unintended consequences is also alive and well. And no matter how well we think we thought things through, we'll often encounter, well, it seemed like a good idea at the time. We have to be ready to listen to what actually happens and adapt and adjust accordingly. Question is, that was asked, what will motivate us to make these sorts of changes? And I suggest to you that we're really typically inspired by a couple of things. One is fear, and the other is greed. Fear for politicians, the fear of losing votes, is a mobilizing sensation. And the greed for gaining votes is equally powerful. And it's the fear of not doing the right thing at the right time. And the greed is much more charitably described as the opportunity agenda. And the opportunity agenda allows us to integrate jobs and the economy and green jobs and new technologies allow us to imagine that. Question is, final point, is where are we on this spectrum of hope and despair? Because we certainly covered that entire spectrum. And I'd say it's spotty. It's mixed. There are lots of terrific project isolated in this community, this technology, in this place, available at this time. But it's not large. It's not coherent. I'd have to say, as a result of this conference, I have, for the first time in a goodly number of years, got a sense of where we are. And it's an extraordinary process to go through to get that sense of where we are on the spectrum from hope to despair. I obviously believe that the more hopeful you can be, the more you engage the right brain cells which generate the enthusiasm and the energy to actually tackle the problems, to give you the self-confidence and the motivation to tackle the next ones. We talked, and my last point is, a bit about action and vision. I recall the line which said, vision with no action is a daydream. Vision or action with no vision is a nightmare. What we need is vision and action. And I'll leave the last word, if I could, to thank the panelists. That was an extremely valuable and rewarding list of panelists who gave of themselves, and hundreds of years of knowledge were distilled in this last, that took 100 years of, hundreds of years to develop, was distilled in this last day. We also were skillfully directed and intrigued by the work of our moderators. The organization, the McGill Institute for the Study of Canada, your host organization, an extraordinary bunch of people, extraordinarily talented, lovely people to work with. It's been the best experience that I've had in quite a long career of trying to do this sort of thing. And I would just like to thank you, the audience, because without the audience, it's nothing. And you have been, as I say, displaying of wonderful stamina, great insight, excellent questions, and you've achieved what Antonia's charge was, is to have a conversation between people who should be speaking to each other, which typically don't, but now the opportunity was provided, and the buzz of conversation indicates, I hope, that that was achieved. So thank you all very much, and have a great weekend.
Just a couple more words. I just wanted to let you know that our closing cocktail is happening next door. I want to thank Bob formally on behalf of the Institute for the Study of Canada. Let's give Bob a big welcome. I want to thank our staff for putting it together and our conference partners, and I want to wish best of success to the student conference, which now starts, called Uncharted Waters. So from us to you, good luck. Pass the torch. Thanks very much.